Hi everyone, welcome to Wisdom's Echo. I'm so honored to be with you today, and what I want to share about today is making disciples is what I want to talk about. Such an interesting subject as I've been pondering, you know, the Great Commission and all this kind of stuff. And I don't know about you, but in our pursuit for knowledge, and I mean, especially in the current mystic movement and all the latest revelation, I honestly believe that we've forgotten many of the simple things that we as believers are actually supposed to be doing. And when you look at the Great Commission and the command that we are given to go, that's just one aspect of it. And I think it's something that we as the church have focused on and forgotten about a lot of other stuff about that. And it's not just about going. It's actually about the second part, about making disciples. And that is where I think we as a church or a body of believers have failed miserably. You know, we've all been eager to go. I remember the days when many years ago when I got born again, I wanted to go, you know, get on the mission field, go on the street, whatever. But as far as, you know, building solid disciples and people like that are grounded in the word and in prayer, I don't see a lot of that in the body of Christ today. I see a lot of very superficial worldly Christians, if I can use that word. And so I want us to start by, let's have a look at what it says in Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20. It says this, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So when you look at this, this is talking about an almost an eternal thing that we're supposed to be doing until it comes to the end of days. You know, basically make disciples. That's the thing that I want to focus on, making disciples, because I don't know about you, but sometimes I really believe that we simplify the Great Commission. And, you know, and we go and we win souls and we get people saved and we get people to give their lives to the Lord and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, so many people that go out there and we get people born again and we offer them salvation and all this kind of stuff. And that's part of it. I mean, that's definitely something that we need to be doing. And it's also something I don't actually see a lot in the modern mystic movement is really salvations at all. And that's part of it. And you know, to be quite honest with you, I don't even think we're doing that well. Most modern salvations, in my view, and just talking to a lot of people, are emotional experiences that result in no changes of life and very little fruit, or basically zero fruit. You know, a lot of these people that give their lives to the Lord, you never see them again, and they just don't even serve the Lord. But if you just look at these verses in the Word, Jesus doesn't end there. Jesus says the Great Commission is about making disciples, not just winning souls, but making disciples. And that, my friends, you know, should be the desire of every single believer. Our desire should be to take what we've learned and to make disciples. And I don't want to just be born again, you know. In the journey that I've taken, in the walk that I've taken, I don't want to just be born again. I want to become, and I want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. That's what I want to be. You know, I want to bear the image of Christ. And that should be the desire of every church, every ministry, every move of God should be that people not just get born again, but they become true disciples. And, you know, that we shouldn't just be getting people saved and born again and sharing the greatest and latest revelation so that we get puffed up with knowledge. But our heart should be to see people becoming disciples and bearing the image of Christ. Imagine having millions of little Jesuses running around the earth. That's the very heart of the Great Commission. And I think that's why we're not seeing the manifestation of the kingdom on the earth, because there aren't disciples, or there's very few disciples. And this is what I want to emphasize in my session today as I'm speaking. You know, I think we've become so used to it. You know, we become so conditioned where people come to the Lord, they come to Christ, they get saved, people respond to whatever, an altar call, street ministry, they say a prayer which we've called the salvation prayer, which, by the way, is not even in scripture, it's not even scriptural. And often we think, oh, that's the end. You know, we've done our job, we've gone out there, we got people saved, and we don't need to do any more. And we've just won another soul to the cause. And that's partly true. You see, it's a part truth, it's not the full truth. You know, I think if we're honest with ourselves, I'm sure we've seen a lot of people who make that prayer. You know, they come to the front, they lift their hands, some of them, some are crying, there's a lot of emotion. You know, and it doesn't matter where this is happening. It could be, you could be doing street ministry, you could be doing on the mission field, you could be in a church service, whatever, whatever it looks like. And many of us have been there. I know I've been there. And the sad part is that, you know, that's often the end of their journey. Nothing else happens. And so for me, the Great Commission is not just about people lifting up their hands and getting goosebumps and having some emotional experience. There has to be a process of discipleship making, which I really believe we failed in. This is an encouraging word to get you fired up to go out there and start making disciples. And so, let me start by defining what a disciple is. I mean, in its simplest form, that word disciple is a person who is a follower of Christ, someone who follows the ways of Jesus. As we all believers, and I'm talking to believers or people that want to believe. And so now that word disciple can really be used in two ways. It can be used to describe the person who is a disciple, but it can also be used to define an activity, something that we do. And for me, that's where discipleship is, because we should be bearing the image of Christ, functioning like Christ. And so the Lord wants people, his people, to become his disciples. But you see, this is the thing, is discipleship is not an instant thing. You don't just become a disciple when you get born again. Discipleship, like I said earlier, is a follower of Christ. But what about discipleship? Sorry, a disciple is a follower of Christ. But what about discipleship? How do we go through the process of becoming a disciple or making a person a disciple? Because discipleship is a process. It's not just something that happens overnight. As I said, it's a process of learning. It's a process of learning the teachings of Jesus Christ, the doctrine of the apostles, laying the foundations that I see in a lot of Christians don't have the foundation. Simple things like discipline, prayer, reading the word, exercising the gifts that God's given you, you know, learning spiritual protocols. And there's so much more. You know, I don't want to go into all of those things. But it shocks me at how few believers that I meet don't have any of that stuff. They don't pray. They don't read the word. Because for some reason we think we're mystic and we're amazing or something, and we don't need to do those things. Well, tell Paul and tell John and tell everyone in the Bible, you know, that they didn't need to do those things. And they've got so much more fruit in their lives than we do. And so discipleship is about teaching people how to follow after Jesus' example and how do we live out his life through the power of the Holy Spirit. Discipleship, like I said earlier, it's a process. It should be a lifetime mission of every believer and of every church or ministry. We should never, ever stop growing as a disciple, all of us. I know for me, I'm growing every single day. I'm reading the word. I'm finding new things. I'm studying. Excuse me. Because I want to grow. I want to know more. I want to learn. But I want to become like him. Excuse me. More than anything else, I want to be like Jesus. And so we never, ever stop growing as a disciple. If you get to that point where you're satisfied, that's the most dangerous place you could ever be. And so discipleship is about turning our lives and our world around through Jesus, through Christ. You know, that's what it is. It's about change. It's about transformation in our lives and bearing good fruit. You know, it isn't about, I mean, isn't it interesting that when you look at the ministry of Jesus Christ, it begins with repentance. He called people to repent. And this is the thing, is why? Because it's so funny, in the modern day church, we don't like that word, repentance. Oh, that's not a nice word. Why? Because, you know, repentance causes you and I to have a radical change of mind that results in a radical change of life. When we can shift our mind and we can repent and we can change everything, change the way you think, you can change your life and you can have a radical change in that. So Christianity is it's way more than just attending meetings, or it's more than, you know, saying a prayer in church. Christianity is more than dressing nicely when you go to meetings. Christianity in its simplest foundational form is about discipleship. It's about teaching others how to be like Jesus. And so what's entailed in that process of discipleship? You know, to understand that, we have to go back to Jesus himself. And so in the same book, Matthew, in chapter 4, we see Jesus calling his first disciples. And I want us to look at that and look at what he told them to do and what discipleship should mean to you and I. So let's read that. Matthew 4, verse 18 to 20. This is what it says. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. They immediately left their nets and followed him. Now, that's what Jesus wants from every single one of us. This is what Jesus says. We should go to nations to announce, follow me. In other words, and I will make you fishers of men. So what he's saying is go out, tell people to follow me, Jesus Christ, and I'm going to make you fishers of men. So in this passage, there's a pattern of discipleship that I just want to touch on. And there is a key that I want to highlight, and that key is leaving. A disciple is a person who leaves. They are like someone going on a pilgrimage or someone going on a journey. You don't go on a journey by staying in the same place, you know. Yeah, and even in today's modern world where there's all this kind of stuff, we can travel to different countries by being in our home country, and we call it virtual travel. You can go online, you can do all this kind of stuff. And I want to say this, the virtual world is fake. It's a fake reality. It's not real. And so we need to leave. When the Bible says Peter left, he didn't leave by staying, he left by leaving. Do you understand what I'm saying? They had to leave. They had to take a step. And so in the believer's life of discipleship, it's all about movement. It's about change. It's about moving from where you are to where you're going. It's a pilgrimage. It's a journey that we're on. Life is a journey, and discipleship is a journey. And the Christian life and the believer's walk is a journey. So when we're born again, we have to understand that we're going to have to leave. We're going to have to leave something behind. Your old life, the way you thought, all this kind of stuff. And we're going to have to, and then we're going to leave heading towards something. There's always something better because our God is a good God and he has amazing things for us. And so leaving is based on two things. If you look at it, it's based on responding to the call that God's placed on your life, the call of Jesus Christ on you. So it's about responding. But then the second part is leaving. So, I mean, if you think about it, think about this. Like if I was in a meeting and I called someone by their name and I say, hey, so-and-so, just come over here. I'm calling you. That person's not just going to sit there and say, thank you, Grant, and then stay where they were. Because if I'm calling you, if someone's calling you, you've got to get up from where you are and you have to move. So when God is calling us, or when Jesus is calling you, or the Holy Spirit is moving you and calling you, we have to get up and we have to move. This is so important for us to understand. We don't want to be like, you know, the modern children of today that are so engrossed in their iPads and phones and whatever. And when you as the parent call them, they go, you know, whatever. You say to them, come on, dinner's ready. And they go, yeah, I'm coming. And then they're still on their iPad or on their tablet or whatever, and they don't move, and they never move, you know, until you've got to go and grab them by the ear, if that's even still allowed today, and drag them to the table. And the sad fact is that so many believers are like that. God calls them, and they say, yes, Lord. And they say, I'm coming, but they never move. And this is the sad thing about the modern day believers. Many respond to their name, but they don't respond to the assignment. So when the Lord's calling us, when Jesus says come, he doesn't want you to say, yes, Lord, I'm coming, while you're deeply engrossed, you know, doing something else. I mean, can you imagine if Jesus called Peter and Andrew and said, come, follow me, and they said yes, and then they just turned around and carry on fishing? That wouldn't have been right. But that's what so many believers are doing. So we need to respond to the name, but we don't respond. You see, this is our problem. We don't respond to the movement. You know, there are a lot of believers that have responded to the name of the Lord, yet there's no shift of location. They're still in the same place. And by that, I don't necessarily mean a physical location. I mean the same mindset, the same this, the same that. And we have to respond to the call. And that responding is not just answering to a name. It's actually moving. And discipleship is about responding and moving. It's two things working hand in hand. It's also about turning away from the world. Peter and Andrew turn away from the world that they knew, that they were familiar with, fishing. That's what they knew. They turned away from it. And so we cannot love the world and Christ at the same time, because there has to be a turning away. And I don't know about you, but in the current mystic movement, we have to ask ourselves this question. Are we really leaving anything? You know, or are we just responding to our name being called, but there's no departure from anything? Because if we're going to be disciples of Christ, we don't just have to say, yes, Lord, you know, give me blessings, give me wealth, give me this, double, double, favor, favor, you know, that's all good. We actually have to move and shift. So I bless you guys. I want to just say to you that there are two things that we have, Samantha and myself. If you jump onto YouTube and you go to @OLMoed, that's our YouTube channel. We got a bunch of free videos on there that you can watch. We also have a brand new school coming up in October this year called the Academy of Shem and Eber. And you can jump onto Wisdom's Well. I think it's .org. Wisdomswell.org. And you can sign up for that. Awesome. It's been such an honor and a pleasure to be sharing with you. Thank you for listening. And have an amazing day. Blessings.